There is a meme going around social media right now that offers a new perspective on the case of Gabby Petito, the 22-year-old woman whose body was found in Wyoming last week. It shows a white woman holding up a sign that reads, "She is missing." She's surrounded by microphones from the news media. Behind her, off to the side and alone, a Native American woman stands holding the same sign. Petito's case has captured the nation's attention in recent weeks as the mystery around her disappearance played out in real time on the news. But for some Native Americans, it only highlights what's not covered so insatiably by the media: the disappearance and death of untold numbers of Indigenous women. It's a movement that's become known as Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. In 2019, Governor Doug Ducey signed a law creating a committee to study the issue here and find ways to stop the violence against these women and girls. One of the people who sat on that committee was Debbie Nez Manuel, a Navajo activist and community leader here. Here's how she introduces herself. I spoke with her more about the double standard cases like Petito's lay bare.
It's frustrating in a very personal way. I've shared this before, is that I lost my mother to her going missing. You know, at the age of 3, she left our home in an effort to go find my father. And it turns out that she goes missing. It took me many years, I want to say like 30 years, to find out the full story, because one of the challenges that happens is that as a society among tribal communities, when someone passes, we don't speak about them very openly, or we don't continue to bring up this, because we've got to allow their soul to rest and their spirit to rest and to move on their journey. And so internally within among our own societies, it's a little bit difficult. So, you know, losing my mom has, it affected me in so many ways. I ended up immediately within kinship care with a relative and went through some really tragic experiences, both, you know, when it came to all the different kinds of abuse, and then ending up in CPS and eventually ended up in foster care. So when I think about the anger, I think about those experiences, those real life experiences that I faced. And it's, you know, had somebody done something about it before, you know, could my mother be alive today? Could anybody, all of these other women who are facing this, you know, could they have been alive today?
I want to back up for a moment and talk about, you know, the missing and murdered Indigenous women kind of movement at this point. It's become an issue that is more well known in recent years, that there are task forces like the one that you served on here in Arizona, here and across the country, efforts to try to address this issue, but it clearly hasn't gone away. Do we know how widespread the issue is today and how many Indigenous women are still going missing and being murdered all the time and not getting the kind of coverage that Gabby Petito is getting?
I think that ranges by community. No one has a very specific answer as to why this is happening. And part of that is, you know, gathering data. Once again, our agencies, our law enforcement, if they're health and human service agencies, their ability to gather and collect data or to capture that information is very challenging. Mm-hmm. One is some of those agencies don't have the means to track that kind of data, or they don't have the, say, the professionals who understand these communities, working in those capacities. So therefore, it's difficult. If we had more people who worked for the FBI that were Native American, that would make a lot of difference. So, you know, when we look at numbers, they're going to be very general. They're going to be very, probably some of the more recent numbers might have some information, but not enough to speak for tribes as a whole. So that's a really difficult question to answer.
So there were all of these efforts in this particular case, you know, to find the remains of Gabby Petito, to try to, you know, send out law enforcement to try and track her down. What would it mean, you think, insofar as solving crimes, preventing further violence, if Indigenous women got the same kind of media attention?
I think there would be a sense of relief in the hearts and minds of their families, a huge sense of relief, because in listening to some of the cases that we heard in Arizona in 2019, listening to families and survivors, many families are tired. The fatigue by day three has worn on them. Trying to find the resources. If you live in a rural area, you're going to find that you have to drive a lot of different places. And not only that, is there's a part of you that doesn't recognize that jurisdiction plays a huge role in this. So you might take the time to go visit the local agency only to be turned to go, you have to go another half hour down the road, mm-hmm. or you need to go see this person, or that person's not there. Sadly, there's not a lot of places that have a one-stop shop for families who are survivors. You're going to deal with county, federal, you're going to deal with local jurisdictions that are not always talking to each other about your particular your case, or they're not always working on the same type of case. So it makes it very challenging when you're trying to address, you know, the issues at hand.
Do you feel like this disparity is a product of the media and the kinds of cases that the media will give attention to? Or is this because of a lack of focus from law enforcement? Or is it both, and those two things are connected?
I think it's a little bit of a lot, if that makes sense. You have the situations from law enforcement. You have it from, you know, the federal response for tribes, especially when they're in rural, remote areas. And some of those tools that they need are like broadband services. That infrastructure does not exist within some tribal communities. You think about the number of law enforcement within tribal communities. Some tribal communities are extremely progressive. They have teams of officers available, while others don't have that available to them at all. I think the other thing is that internally within tribal communities and their societies is the idea that this is not something we talk about very openly. There's so much cultural, you know, teachings, taboos, so much happening. And I think immediately families just deal with it. They work very hard to try to find their loved one, but others get worried because of cultural barriers.
So Debbie, then lastly, what are the residual effects of this? Like, some of this is about the cases, the law enforcement, the way this is actually carried out. But I'm sure that the effects of these kinds of cases going ignored goes far beyond that.
They sure do. I want to say that it's really important for our allies and non-tribal members, even the tribal members, to recognize that it's important to listen to women. It's important to listen to their voice, because their voices are rooted in our lineage, teachings, and philosophy. And no matter who they are, it's really important to ensure that these women don't feel disempowered, or that they don't feel like their voices are just going unheard. I think that's one of the biggest challenges for all of us, every single one of us, to understand, is it's important to listen to women.
Yeah. All right. That is Debbie Nez-Manuel, an Arizona community leader and a member of the Navajo Nation. She served on the governor's task force in 2019 on missing and murdered Indigenous women. Debbie, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show and talk to us about this.
Sure. I'm really excited to be here.